right here on The Fan. But let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, Matt Maiocco. When it comes to the Niners, there's nobody I trust more and get more content from than Matt from NBC Sports Bay Area out there. Matt, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great,
doing
buddy.
Very well. So get us up to speed on the Niners' interest in Robinson. Seemed substantial for them to give up a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the 49ers are getting a little bit of help on the salary with Washington paying, I think, a little bit more than $1 million of that salary for this year. But the 49ers, just in the last week, they lost two guys that were making bids for the 53-man, and there was a chance that both of them were going to make the 53-man. Patrick Taylor out for the year with a shoulder injury, a fracture there, and then an undrafted rookie who had looked pretty good, Corey Kiner from Cincinnati. He had a high ankle sprain in the game Saturday night against the Raiders, and he was going to be out several months. So this was a time where, you know, they have Christian McCaffrey. You know that the injury issues that he had last year, only playing in four games. Now, he's been healthy, but, you know, at his age and just the history of what he went through last year, 49ers felt like they had to insulate themselves a little bit more at that position. They do have Isaac Grindo, who was a draft pick last year and played pretty well, but also a guy that's had a difficult time staying healthy. So in bringing in Brian Robinson, the 49ers get a guy who, you know, is a starter caliber running back and somebody that they can mix in there, and whether it's short yardage or however they use him, give McCaffrey a break or two of, you know, take this series off, whatever the case may be. And the 49ers just felt like with all the injuries that they've had in the past at running back, that they just needed a little bit more there, because two guys just wasn't going to cut it, I don't think, for their planning for this season.
Yeah, Matt, with McCaffrey's injury history, in 23 played 16 games, and of course did Christian McCaffrey things where he was incredible and, you know, a top-flight fantasy pick for everybody. What's the prognosis here for this year, both health-wise, and is there kind of a different plan? Maybe you don't give him 280 touches or something like that. Is this more of a pitch count kind of year to make sure he's effective for 17 weeks?
Well, that's a good plan until they start playing games and they're trying to win those games. And, you know, they've always kind of thought, oh, you know, let's limit his touches, let's do this, let's do that. But when it comes down to it and they're trying to win games, it's just very difficult for them to take Christian McCaffrey off the field. But, you know, in training camp, they've limited his practice time. He loves to be out there, but, you know, they've kind of cut him back as far as practice or two on, a day or two off. He's made it through training camp looking good. He's been healthy, has not missed a day of practice due to any kind of injury or any kind of ailment. All of his time where he hasn't practiced have been planned days off. So, you know, I think they're planning on riding with a fully healthy Christian McCaffrey, and what they're, you know, how they can enact something in order to keep him fresh and healthy through the course of a game and certainly through the course of the season, that'll kind of play out. But yeah, they do feel like they just needed more depth at that spot.
Matt Maiocco is with us. The news of the day we're tracking here on Grant and Danny: Brian Robinson shipped to the 49ers for a sixth round pick. San Francisco is a team that I find really hard to project this year, Matt. I was heavy in on the Rams. Now that Matt Stafford's back is acting up and he can't stay on the practice field, I'm kind of back on the Niners to win the division. But it felt like a turbulent offseason for a team that a lot of people still feel like has a good chance, according to odds makers, to come out of the NFC. What's the state of the union there going into the season?
Well, there's an injection of youth, and it was, you know, I won't say necessity, but the team felt that way. You know, the team felt like they had to get younger. They had to get less expensive as far as the salary cap goes and projecting out. So you're right. When the offseason started, it was all about the players who were leaving. You know, some guys were cut, like released, like Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd, three starting defensive linemen. They didn't make much of an effort to re-sign some of their own guys. They did try to re-sign Dre Greenlaw, but it was basically too little too late after the Broncos came to the table and made him a nice offer. So the plan all along was to accumulate draft picks. They had 11 of them. They made those 11 picks. And so there is a great deal of uncertainty. When the 49ers, you know, made those cuts on the salary cap, they knew that, you know, there was going to be other guys that they wanted to keep around and that they were going to have to pay big money to keep. You know, top of the list, Brock Purdy, who goes from being one of the lowest paid players on the team to one of the highest paid players in the league with that contract that he signed. So there is this injection of youth with it, you know, with your setup to this question. There's a lot of different ways this can go, you know, and basically every day of practice when I look out there, I'm thinking kind of the same thing that you said is like, you know, can they win the NFC West? I think they can. And then maybe the next day, like, boy, they're just so young and they make so many mistakes. I don't see how they can win the division. So it is definitely going to be a work in progress. And, you know, the thing that they have going for them, the best thing, the biggest thing they have going for them is, yes, in addition to all these young players who are going to have to take on some vital roles, specifically on defense, they still have like high-priced, quality star players at darn near every position group, you know, going from, and I'm putting Brock Purdy in this category because I just haven't seen very much negative at all from him in the time that he's been the quarterback. So let's go. Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, D'Amador Lenore, who signed a nice contract as a cornerback last year. So when you have, and that's not even to mention Brandon Ayuk, who signed a big deal a year ago, but will miss maybe not quite half the season, but right around there as he comes back from an ACL. So the point being, they still have a lot of really good players that they'll be leaning on to carry them over the finish line.
What are team sources telling you about what they think Brian Robinson is and how good he could actually be?
Well, I think Brian Robinson is a starting caliber running back that maybe wasn't viewed as a starter anymore by the Commanders. And so, you know, he's seen as a guy that, you know, they weren't going to be able to get anybody better to bring to come in for the final cuts. The fact that the Commanders are eating some of that salary helps them out. They feel like they have a reliable guy who's a big body, short yardage back for sure, that can help them get those tough yards, third and goal, fourth and goal, you know, third and short, fourth and short, that they weren't able to pick up last year. So, you know, a big guy who's, what, 230 pounds. Is he a breakaway guy? No, but they do have now three different style running backs as their top three runners. You know, Garrido is more of a home run hitter, good straight line speed, catches the ball pretty well out of the backfield. It seems like Robinson catches the ball out of the backfield pretty well. I know the 1 year with Sam Howell there when he did a lot of checkdowns, Robinson had, what, 36 catches. So that's kind of the common denominator is they feel good about the versatility and the ability of whomever they put out there running back, whether it's McCaffrey, Garrido, or Robinson, to also be a factor in the passing game.
Matt, quick one for you before we let you jump. Deebo Samuel plays here now. Last year, just, you know, quick summary, why didn't it go according to plan, and what do you expect from him this year in Washington?
Well, it's a lot of it depends on what kind of shape, you know, Deebo Samuel is in. You know, we saw all, I mean, he was kind of defined in a lot of ways this era of 49ers football with just the versatility. He was, you know, you just couldn't not watch him because you didn't know where he's going to line up. He's going to be a running back on this play. You know, they're going to find a way to get the ball in his hands. And when Deebo was running hard and fully, you know, motivated, I shouldn't say motivated. I don't think he ever needed any issues with the motivational part of it. But, you know, there were times where, you know, his conditioning maybe wasn't where it needed to be. But, man, you know, there's nobody that you want to put the ball in his hands more than him for those yards that matter because he does have this certain way of just a determined running style that for many years with the 49ers kind of set the tone both offensively and also the defensive guys. They often would remark about how watching Debo would get them fired up. So, you know, at his best, and we'll see how much he has left in the tank, but at his best, he is an absolute tone setter. But he's taken a lot of hits, you know, through the years. You know, he doesn't shy away from contact. So it'll be really interesting and fun to watch him play. But I would say this, and you know, he was a very popular guy in the locker room. Head coach Kyle Shanahan really, really liked him. But I think that it's kind of hard to define, but it was just kind of obvious and clear that it had run its course and it was time for a change. And so I think they left on amicable terms, or, you know, Debo leaves the 49ers on amicable terms. And I think, you know, in retrospect here, everybody views him as a really good 49er who gave this organization a lot of good years.
Matt, we appreciate the insight on a day where the two teams linked back up in yet another trade. They do this a lot. We've got your number on speed dial, it feels like. Thank you.
All right, no problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
NBC Sports Bear is Matt Maiocco.